Hello and welcome to what we're calling, I believe, The Wisdom of Crabs Versus.
Yes.
That's the name of the series.
Oh, that's good. We've agreed on that months in advance, but yes, I like that.
Now
that I
hear it for the first time. Pretend we're agreeing it now, so it just feels more up to real to the listener.
Yeah, and we've had Nigel Havers in the past going toe to pincer with the crabs, haven't we? And he did all right, didn't he, Nigel, I think?
I think he held his own.
I think.
I think this, again, is a format that's hard to describe.
It's a sort of self, it's a classic agony aunt setup, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But instead of being helped out by agony aunts, you're helped out by a combination of the accrued wisdom of the decapod, that's the eight-legged, scurrying, sea-dwelling beast known to you most commonly as Sir John Major.
I thought, Henry, you were lining up known as Mike Wozniak. That's why I thought you were going.
No.
A classic little burn.
Yeah, but he switcherooed it smooth.
It was a nice switcheroo.
Lovely bit of switcheroo.
And also you'll be getting advice from the...
Oh, could it be the double switcheroo?
Could it... From the slightly turgid...
Here we go.
Bit grey. Mm-hmm. Was once Chancellor, then went on to be Prime Minister after Margaret Thatcher, won one election, lost a second, John Major. I've already said him. Yeah, you don't know which way it's going to go. It's tricky, isn't it?
Keeps you guessing.
Keeps you guessing, all sides.
It's switcheroo jeopardy.
Switcheroo jeopardy. It's the wisdom of John. So, yeah, the wisdom of crabs. That's the baseline is. So crabs are the most successful species on Earth. Mm-hmm. They've been around.
They will be the most successful.
They will be the most successful. Obviously, we don't know yet until the results come in at the end. Sorry, but they're way ahead at the moment.
Yeah.
They've not changed from an evolutionary perspective in over 2 billion years, I'm pretty sure. they don't need to change anymore. Basically, look, that can play a guitar just by scurrying up and down.
Yeah.
Can't it?
That can pull within its own species without any issues.
But look at it; it's basically a hand. Because they say the thing that makes humans so intelligent isn't the fact that we've got hands,
opposable thumbs,
thumbs. That's it. The whole thing's an opposable forearm,
opposable hands. The whole thing is opposable. Yeah,
and opposable hands. This way, that way, fully opposable. So crabs are just a very successful species. So. We thought if we were to delve into the definitive book on crabs, which is, it's called Crabs. And it's by, I assume is a crab
Susan
expert.
Crab.
It's by Susan Crab. I assume really knows her stuff. I think the surname must be a coincidence. Look at that. It's a hefty tome. So I think there's everything you need to know is in this book, Crabs.
Yeah. It's more than you could read in a lifetime.
It's more than I could read in a lifetime. But it's an illustrated, fascinating tome in its own right. But what we found is by randomly tipping into it, you do actually manage to access some of that deep sort of cellular wisdom that is carried within the meaty carapace of every crab, I think.
And so much of the what makes modern life difficult is pincered away, isn't it? Because it's primordial and it's ancient. Exactly. It's ancient wisdom that still applies. To today.
Exactly. It's underneath your Wi-Fi and your meal deals. Is Brian coming on Wednesday?
To Laser Quest.
Is Brian coming to Laser Quest? These guys do not give a shit. Pincing your neck off.
They're going to Laser Quest either way. They don't care if Brian's going or not going.
They don't care. They're living Laser Quest, frankly.
They would snip Brian's throat out without even blinking if they can blink.
Yeah. If you said to a crab, which do you tend to use? Compare the market or go compare? They just don't. They don't care.
They go pincer up your ass is what I tend to go with. You're like, what are you saying? What are you talking about? And go, yeah, I've actually got to pincer up your ass. And you're like, can you please remove it from your ass? And they'd be like, yeah, if I do that, you're going to die. But you've got a choice: either I remove my pincer from your ass, or you die, or you spend the rest of your life with me walking around with you. Pincer up your ass.
And I say, should I call my home insurance or car insurance about this? Is there anything that can be done?
Yeah, you got more pressing decisions to make right now, mate.
Yeah. That's why it's called, in military terms, the crab movement, isn't it? You cannot defeat the crab movement.
Yeah, it's not called the pincer movement. It's definitely called the crab movement.
It's called the crab movement. No, but that's why it's called the pincer movement. It's the most successful military tactic.
Yeah.
It's essentially what just described, isn't it? Napoleon used it. Mm-hmm. All the other big generals.
Send crabs up the arse of your opponents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then...
It works every time.
Yeah. And, so essentially, we've been doing that at the live shows. It's been an absolute hoot, hasn't it? It's been a huge success. We've actually helped turn some people's lives around. I think a girl got decided to apply for a job at BAE Systems because of us.
We definitely told a man to not indulge his fantasy of becoming an ironmonger. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Right. He sort of said, I've got a really cushy and solid job in the council. Yeah. Should I jack it in and become a blacksmith? And we all just said, no, grow up.
Yeah. But that's the crab way, isn't it? They didn't get to where they are through like idealism and like going, oh, shall I write poetry for a bit? No, I'm going to pinch my enemies in half. I'm going to pinch half.
Shall I get an apprenticeship to learn how to make Welsh clogs? No.
Yeah, good luck now that I pinched your head off and you're just speaking those lips out of posthumous random spasms. So who's to know if you actually were going to say that anyway? Either way, I win.
Anyway, so what we're doing in this audio series is we're pitting that ancient primeval wisdom of crabs against...
Yeah. By the way, just quickly, another thing to say while we're on the topic is how many things can we say all we've said about crabs about? But also, so they've got ancient wisdom. They're so far leading the race of all the species to win.
Relentlessly attacked by seagulls.
Despite being relentlessly attacked by seagulls, they have become absolute lords of the deep, but also make a really, really nice starter. Little bit of lemon, a couple of capers, a little bit of lettuce for decoration. You don't need much more, do you?
Maybe a sliced tomato. Don't eat the tomato, though.
Yeah. So you slather it in olive oil, you put a little bit of béarnaise on its head, put a little sprig of dill, and... What have you got? You got John Major wearing his Sunday best. That's what he wears at home on Sunday.
He's done it again.
It's a bit of fun that he has since he's thrown off the shackles of power. He just has fun on a Sunday now. Doesn't have to worry about PMQs. Gets a bit of dill on his head. Chills out.
So it is possible that there will be people listening from foreign climes who don't know who John Major is. I think that's fine. You know, he obviously made a bit of a ripple on the international stage, but not that much of a ripple. He's not a Chirac, is he?
He's not a Chirac.
He's not a Gorbachev.
Sarkozy. No, you're not going to land in any airport in the world that's called John Major Airport, for example.
No, good point.
No, that's true. I think there is there was a John Major hover station that was closed down through lack of interest.
Well, they couldn't even agree whether it was for hovercraft or whether the station itself should be hovering.
They weren't sure, were they?
Even at the planning stage, and they built it anyway. It was absolute disaster.
And it did hover, and unfortunately, because they had to close it down, they've lost the technology. No one knows how they did it, but if we could harness that...
Well, it has floated off, hasn't it?
It's what it's hovering on.
We actually don't know where it is.
We don't know where it is. But
in case you don't know, John Major was the Prime Minister of this fine country, the United Kingdom, between... I'm going to get this wrong, I think.
Well, it would have ended in 97.
1992 and 1997?
I reckon 92 to 97 is right.
Can I say, I reckon 1990 to 97.
No, I don't think
it's
that long.
No, he was Prime Minister for longer than you think.
Oh. I think...
Yes, I'm right. He became Prime Minister in 1990 after winning the Conservative Party leadership following Thatcher's resignation.
It's been a seven-year...
Can I say, the fact that I listened to a little John Major podcast while I was making my dinner earlier...
Oh, you swat.
Yeah. Means that technically, I think technically you don't know something if you've learnt it in the last sort of 3 hours. If I know that, if I still know that next week, I legitimately know it. But I'm
okay.
I'm showing you my
That's
cards.
Interesting, because I can't pretend that I've read all of my own copy of John Major's autobiography.
Oh, come on, Mike.
Which is secondhand.
You don't turn up to these things unless you've read the autobiography.
If you've got video, you'll be able to see that someone else has tried. And indeed,
is that someone else's?
The copy that I got secondhand, sent through the mail, it came with its bookmark still in place.
Wow. And the bookmark's also a train ticket.
The bookmark is a train ticket.
Between where?
From the 19th of June 2005.
Okay.
Between Elstree and Borehamwood.
Oh, that's such John Major territory.
It's very
We're talking
John Major.
Home counties, absolutely, yeah, fully as blue as it gets.
It's Larkin land.
But they didn't quite get halfway through. Basically, they only got the first bunch of photographs. They got to a lunch that he had, an excellent lunch with Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands at Chateau Neuerkase, and then they gave up.
You know, that's the kind of thing which gets to happen to you when you're prime minister. You know, even if you're a pretty boring prime minister who doesn't do much, you do get to have dinner with Princess Beatrice of the Netherlands.
Queen Beatrix. There'd be lots of people that wouldn't even know that there was a Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands. They'd be surprised to know that that was a thing.
But there's enough of these people out there for you to just be having great dinners, like 7 days a week, with exciting
people. In Chateau Nerkase.
See, a lot of people wouldn't even heard of Chateau Nerkase.
People tragically would never have seen the gleaming spires of Chateau Nerkase.
I thought Chateau Nerkase was the Dutch Prime Minister.
Well, it may be. I don't know if that's the problem. I haven't read it. It might be.
It could well be. Can I say, people say that John Major is quite a kind of modest person, don't they? That's the thing. Because, you know, Thatcher was a big personality and rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way. And John Major was kind of steady as you go kind of character.
Well, and then followed by Blair as well, who similarly was, you know, could do a speech. Do you know what I mean? He could do a bit of oratory. He could do a bit of flair. If you were into that kind of thing.
A hot, hot, sexy man with the body of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He could pull off some hair.
He could pull off some ears. Either. He was that charming and you wouldn't even know. And he'd go home with them and he'd whisper sweet nothings into them, wasn't he, when he got home. And then he'd turn it into a nice little stir fry, which he'd eat with sherry.
Yeah.
Because it was the late 90s. People were just starting to cook stir fries at home.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think it was sherry rather than sherry.
Good job. People say he's a modest guy, but this is autobiography, right? That's how much he thinks is worth saying about John Major.
It's a chunky one, isn't it?
This is how much there is about crabs, the most successful organism in the history of the universe.
Similarly, we've had this in Havers.
Written four times as much about himself.
There's this in Havers, which we had last time. So Havers is about a third of...
Sorry, just to be boring, because most people are listening to this rather than watching.
Yeah.
There's more than double Havers. Yeah. So Havers is about half as thick as the John Major autobiography. Yeah. And Crabs is probably a quarter as thick.
I'd say you could fit Nigel Havers and every crab that's ever lived into John Major.
Yeah.
In biographical terms.
Also, can we talk about his expression on the front?
Yes.
It's please. So...
I know.
Like, what emotion's that?
It's smug, isn't it?
It's very, it's
unexpectedly
very...
smug from a man who has been respected on both sides of the aisle, I'd say, since retirement.
Mm.
Got a lot of turds thrown at him during his time, but I'd say in the last 20 years, he's often wheeled out as a sort of moderate central voice, isn't he?
He's a moderate centrist. But he was really eviscerated in the satirical columns and by the cartoonists and stuff of the 90s, wasn't he?
But it's because his voice sounded like this,
spitting image puppet was completely grey all the way through and he only ate peas.
It was all, and didn't he wear his Y fronts or something a lot? Or something about Y
on the outside of his trousers, according to specific.
So he was grey and boring and Y fronts. But actually, you look at him, he's got in this photo, because you never actually looked at him in real life for as long as you can look at this photo. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Or it's a reason they had to take a photo rather than paint him. Do you know what I mean? He's not lingering with that expression.
Exactly.
He's very much saying, capture this if you dare, and if you're quick enough, because I'm moving on.
Is what you're saying that you're falling in love with Sir John Major?
What I'm saying is I have fallen in love with him. and
you will too, dear.
And every day is an adventure now. I don't know where it's going to lead. I know that we've got something very special.
Mm.
His face is a couple of things that surprise me about it. One is it's surprisingly sensual.
Yeah.
It's a kind of soft, sensual face with kind of very soft, sort of wet, moist eyes.
Yes. And he did have a love rat scandal at one point in his career, didn't he? And people were astonished to think about the idea that he might also be a sexual being.
Yeah.
Can I use the phrase soft lips?
He's got soft, soft lips, Ben. You're right. You're right to pull out that phrase.
And many people would have said that he didn't have any lips at all, right? Spitting image.
Well, they're so soft.
Any lips.
Well, it's actually hard to know. They're so soft. It's hard to know if
you can't even see them.
You can't
even
see them. Now, the very, very hard to place the age of this man.
Yes,
because he's sort of got a. He's actually got a kind of.
He's always looked the same, hasn't he?
I mean, that's a Tory MP affliction.
What age is that? From what, sorry?
That's a kind of Tory MP affliction. They kind of look the same age from the age of about 25, I think.
Right, yeah.
Until death.
Yes, and sometimes they can look very, very young. Sometimes they're the Portillo kind of like painting in the attic thing. Sometimes they're the sort of Heseltine as look 70 from the age of 23.
Yeah.
It's one or the other, though, isn't it?
Which then quickly reverses on the deathbed, weirdly. So they're actually, doesn't it?
Well, as their final breath leave.
As their final breath leave. They become smoking hot, and it's like, get that on Tinder now. get it on Tinder now. We'll get you a hot, hot, hot date for the wake. Unfortunately, you will be, you'll be stuffed and placed in some sort of militaristic pose by your Tory wife, I mean.
Also, can we say a big power move to call your autobiography The Autobiography?
That's incredibly arrogant, isn't it? It's basically The Autobiography. Yeah. So you take the author out of it. It's just called The Autobiography.
Yeah.
Have you read The Autobiography? Yeah, by John Major. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, The Autobiography. It's amazing. It's the definitive autobiography. Isn't it? It really is.
That's a very good point indeed.
God, yeah, well spotted, Ben. By the way, on your...
That's like history, isn't it? His story. And also my edition, I don't know about you, I've got on the bottom it says, includes new final chapter. Have you got that?
Oh, you've updated it.
Me and Henry, because we respect John Major, sorry, Mike, we've gone for the hardback.
We've gone for the hardback.
Whereas you've gone for the floppy old soft top.
So has he got added...
I've got a new final chapter.
Has he added in kind of reflections on the impact of The Sopranos and The Wire, stuff like that?
He didn't think it was all that.
He's got a lot of stuff about what to do in the event of the Millennium Bug happening, hasn't he? He's got a lot of warnings.
He rails against Chumbawamba.
Guys, I've just opened the book for the first time. I haven't read it.
Mm.
And in the front page is a dedication on Christmas Day, 1999.
Oh, wow. It's like a real one from a person's...
Have you got a signed copy?
Not from John, but someone's given it to someone else. So it says, Christmas 1999, to our way of thinking, a really most remarkable book with its surprisingly strange twist in the tale. Loved the end. Remarkably monochrome. M&S.
So is that remarkably monochrome? Is that a reference to the joke about him being grey?
I think so, yeah. But what's the twist in the end?
How funny.
How'd you get a twist?
What's the big twist at the end of his autobiography?
Is it that he set a miniature time bomb in the tip of Alistair Campbell's penis that's going to go off on the 3rd of April 2025? And it's going to rip his cock right off.
Right in the middle of his dawn swim.
It's funny, isn't it? To people such as us, does that mean just two... Is that love between two Tories, essentially? Is there anything more beautiful than the sweet, honest...
The purest love.
The pure love between two Tories. Darling, for people such as us, this book is really quite a treat. Oh, by the way, something I haven't mentioned. I met John Major.
Did you?
Yeah, how did you sit on that until just now?
He visited when I was at university. He visited my college.
Right.
He was doing like a speech. So this would have been. This would have. I think it was. He would have been prime minister, would he? I graduated. Did I graduate in 98? Possibly. Anyway, he was doing a speech in. He was doing some sort of delivering some speech to some dinner in my college. And me and my friend of mine were just walking, sort of hanging around,
playing craps in the back alley.
We were shooting dice. I was on a hot streak. Crab eyes. we were like hanging around, and we started talking to his security detail.
Ooh.
Hmm. You never hear of any other kind of detail, do you?
No. Catering detail.
My sartorial detail will be along.
Skincare detail.
So you started talking to them. Did they just instantly sort of fill you with lead?
They knew that if I wanted to kill them, they'd already be dead. So there was no point not chatting to me. Do you know what I mean?
I watched a video today of Prince Charles's security guards.
Yeah.
And someone was pointing out they've got fake arms. Do you know this?
Fake arms?
Yeah, so they've got their right arm is normal.
Yeah.
Their left arm is a fake arm.
They've got a tail as arm.
Is it just a bazooka with an arm painted on? So they have to hold it at quite a weird angle for an arm. Just up above their left shoulder. Using their actual arm, which just has to be painted with a liquid form of a mirror. So that you can't see it.
If you start annoying them, you can watch them reload the arm. No, so the right arm's normal. Left arm is a tailor's arm, Mike.
So that means a plastic arm, basically.
If I understand what a tailor's arm is, the same as you do, which is just like a fake arm.
Yeah. Are they suggesting that the left arm is under their jacket with an Uzi?
So the left arm is under their jacket holding a gun.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's definitely true. This is not a conspiracy theory, because once you look at it and you can't unsee it, that it's very obviously a fake one, because it's being held up by the other one. So they're always holding their arms like this in front of them, holding their hands in front of them. And they're holding up the fake arm.
I'm definitely going to check that out. I was thinking of King Charles today, because I had a job. My work today was in a Sea Scout hut.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture of King Charles and the Queen, photographs.
In landlocked London?
In landlocked London, yeah.
Why do you need a Sea Scout there?
I don't know. It seemed, from what I could tell, we weren't really involved in the Sea Scouts, but it's a big recruitment. It seems like it's a recruitment thing, really.
Oh, for the Navy?
For the Navy and for the Merchant Marines.
Oh,
it seems like. But London has a maritime history, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Down the river. And it's going to sound cruel now. I couldn't help but notice in the King's portrait.
You didn't draw a penis coming out of his head, did you?
I didn't draw a penis, but he's sat in a chair. So it's a sort of a portrait, so you can see the top half of him. They had definitely framed out his fingers.
Oh, dear. You know what? I feel sorry for Charles, because he rode the ears wave. He rode the ears wave.
And then
he
thought he'd made it.
He thought he'd got
his age, right? Why people? You don't expect, when you get to his age, for people to start having a go at you about your personal appearance. Like, it's like, yeah. It's done. It's a done deal.
And he thought he'd drawn all the fire onto his ears. You're right.
Yeah.
And then about 10 years ago, people went, have you seen his hands? Have you seen that guy's hands?
Yeah.
Come on, poor guy. And with the Navy as well, like with the changes of pressure that can happen, like if he was to go down in a submarine, they would explode.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to press the nuclear button, or he'd only be able to press it. Something like, either way, his button, it's not specific, like he's not targeted enough in his button pushing ability.
You mean he could just kind of mash the keypad with his hands? And
we have to do a mash.
And a random selection of nuclear weapons would go to random parts of the world.
Which is why Queen Camilla now is in control of the nuclear button now.
That's right, yeah.
That's right.
He's got it in the handbag.
Yeah.
Anyway, where were we? Oh, we were talking about you meeting John Major.
Oh, yeah. So we checked with security detail, and we were sort of wondering, oh, you know, it'd be quite fun if this dinner seemed to be coming to an end. Because we could see, like, you know, academics and people were starting to troop out of this room where they'd all been having dinner, wearing gowns and stuff. And so we were hanging around a bit. And then I heard this unmistakable sound of, Norma.
Wow.
And that was his, so he had this very, very distinctive voice.
Yeah.
Has. And Norma. And then him and Norma. So he was obviously, getting her attention. And then they came out.
Was she getting off with one of the undergraduates around the corner?
She was getting off with an undergrad.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was getting off with the head of rowing.
With the cocks.
And anyway, he says they came over to us, and John Major came straight over to us and chatted to us and shook our hands. And he had this, basically, so we were being fed by the media and stuff that this was just the most boring guy in the world.
Yeah.
Right? But of course, he's a politician, and politicians, I think, are incredibly charming, actually, because that's their job.
Yeah.
And me and my friend, because also we were students at the time, so we thought we were a bit like, oh, you know, we were sort of a bit lefty. And
you're all CND, Greenpeace, right?
We were CND, Greenpeace, and we were like down with the Tories and like down with politicians and stuff. And he came over to us, and we were like, this could be our moment to actually do satire directly and actually make real political change. Make real political change.
If only we knew whether or not he was currently actually the Prime Minister.
I can't remember. The internet hasn't been invented yet, so I can't check. But this could be our chance. We have got the ear of a powerful, you know, the most powerful person, or the person who was when he was Prime Minister, the most powerful person, or will be if he's not Prime Minister yet.
Either way, he's well connected, probably.
Either way. We've got his ear. Anyway, as soon as, because like, I can't remember what the issues were at the time, but like, we were going to bring up some issues. Anyway, as soon as he started talking to us, we were just like absolute putty in his hands.
Giggling schoolgirls.
Giggling schoolgirls.
Yeah.
I was like warm butter, just like being melted over a soft-boiled egg.
Do you know who apparently is a good example of this? Is Michael Gove. So apparently Michael Gove is someone who everyone thinks is a knob.
I bet.
And then apparently everyone who meets him leaves going, what a lovely bloke. How charming. He's got this kind of charisma. And
But he has laid a reptilian egg in your chest during the meeting.
You look down, you're like, hang on a minute.
Yeah. I'm the host now.
Now I'm eating for two. And then it's fine, you're pregnant with a Gove.
8,000 reptilian eggs.
With 8,000 Goves. Obviously, only about 4,000 of them will survive.
Well, because they'll eat the others, won't they?
Because they'll eat the others, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've heard that from like multiple people. Oh, and I think it's kind of true of any successful politician.
I think it's true. And I think it was so true of John Major. He was the most charming person. He was asking us questions about us. I don't think we even got around to talking about John Major.
Yeah.
Literally. It was like, so what are you studying?
And this guy flipped it on you straight away. He saw you coming.
Flipped it on us.
And did he know things about you where you're like, how did he know that? Yeah. So he's going, Henry, I hear you're really good at playing Abe's Odyssey. And then you go, how did you know?
So only 3 days later, you realised you were wearing your Abe's Odyssey t-shirt and had it for three solid days.
Three solid days.
Yeah. He Kaiser Soze'd you, basically.
I tell you what, I could use someone with your expertise to help me work out the finer details of the Maastricht Treaty.
Depending on when that was.
Depending on if I'm Prime Minister again. As I mentioned earlier. But little did he know that while I was talking to he was talking to me, little did he know that secretly I may have seemed as if I was going along with what he said and simpering like a schoolgirl, but secretly I was working on the most devastating impression of all time. I was remembering every syllable, every noise, every phoneme, every antonym, and I was plotting the most devastating impression of all ever.
The longer this impression goes, the further it strays from the
right. It's not one with legs, I'm afraid.
I know. That's what happens with me impressions. I don't know why. Anyway.
I was once in the same room as Al Gore. And
what?
You were?
When? Yeah. And I was working on a TV show that he came on as a guest. And he had this insane, like American-level politician charisma is insane.
Yeah.
And he could have said anything. He could have said, you're going to the front line now.
Yeah.
And I would have said, yes, Al, I will do anything for you.
Yeah.
It was strange.
Yeah.
He wasn't even talking to me. He's just like, to be in the presence of like a mega top-level American politician, they just like radiate this kind of thing. It's really strange.
That's amazing.
And I think it's partly the fact that they've got like proper security detail with them as well. So they kind of give off like...
And also American politicians, when you meet them in real life, you didn't realize they've all got about eight arms each, haven't they? So you know there's no way of knowing which is the real arm, which is the fake one. Yeah.
They've got they're shaking hands in the 360, aren't they, basically?
The 360. And it's...
Yeah. Also, it was clearly one of his plastic surgery doubles as well.
Wasn't even him.
Yeah, the real Al Gore was back
but
in
even
the Pentagon.
Those guys are charming, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Even they're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know what they're talking about. And they're actually really good on the detail. You can discuss policy with them.
But then actually, I did once meet, I'm going to bleep out his name because it's maybe not fair, James Cleverly.
Right.
And he was just like a snivelly little toad.
Okay, good. Fine, because that's the way he comes across.
So maybe it's not all of them.
Maybe it was a better era. Maybe the 90s was the time.
Maybe it's the one who punched, because he tried to punch through to leadership and didn't make it. So maybe that's the leadership test.
His vibe with me was that he was trying to say, like, I'm one of the cool ones, right? I'm not like one of the nasty ones. I'm one of the cool ones. No, you just own being a bastard.
Yeah.
I'd have much more respect for you.
I once saw Jeffrey Archer going by on the back of a van and he was talking through a tannoy thing. That's why he used to do this before elections. He'd just go round.
Mm. Yeah.
Going, oh, vote Tory, vote Conservative or whatever. And obviously Jeffrey Archer, I mean, I always thought he was a huge tosser.
Yeah.
But even when he drove by, I just sort of gave him a wave and a smile just because there was something about the...
Did you give him a shiny red apple?
No.
Here you go, sir.
Yeah, but exactly. That, it was that sort of... I would have done if I had one to hand. Mm. Anyway,
okay, so we're going to solve your problems. Okay, so let's solve your problems with the help of our friends the Crabs and the former Prime Minister John Major. Let's start off with this from Rosie.
Okay, Rosie.
I'm writing to you with my heart on my sleeve and, unfortunately, fungus on my toes.
Oh.
I've had not one but two fungal nails for over a decade now.
Blimmin' heck. They do say they're hard to shift. It's hard to shift.
I know what you're thinking. A, that's not great. But B, not catastrophic.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker. I'm only 23 years old. That's right. I've been rocking the toenails of an 80-year-old since my teens.
Crikey.
My toes have not been in public since the coalition.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, I finally plucked up the courage to see my GP.
Yeah.
But cash-strapped and time-poor, they went for the no-pain, no-problem approach.
I've had this before from the NHS.
So basically they're saying that the GP said, what doesn't matter, basically, is
yeah.
it? If it's not causing a painful problem.
Yeah. Unless they can see bits of viscera falling onto the floor.
Right.
You're on your way, thanks.
She says, whilst it's true, my toes may not throb physically, they are a source of visual pain and discomfort. Please, in your wisdom, help me reclaim my toenails. Or should I accept that I'll never know the carefree joy of wearing sandals and flip-flops? Yours, hopefully, fungal and frustrated.
Oh, Rosie.
Well,
now, before we hit the crabs and the John Majors, I have had a fungal toenail myself, which I dealt with. So I can speak from experience.
Yeah.
Well, you removed the entire leg from the knee down, didn't you?
which does work.
I just replaced it with a simple hoof.
Yeah.
So I went to the GP. They said, oh, don't worry about it, whatever. But you can paint this stuff on. They gave me some stuff to paint on it. Didn't do anything. Then I went to the pharmacy. They said, oh, try this stuff. It's really good. And it's like, it's based on urea. Is that what it's called? Urea?
Yeah.
And it basically melted my toenails off. Yeah. Like they just kind of started sloughing off until I had no toenails at all.
Bloody hell.
I wonder what that is.
On all of your feet?
Yeah. Well, no, it was a big toe.
On both of your feet. I've let out Ben's secret. Sorry, on both of your feet. We'll cut that out. Sorry. On both of your normal. Yeah. Oh, so 2 foot Ben, 2 foot Ben. He's got the left and a right and no others. 2 foot, 2 foot, 2 foot Ben. I think we've covered it.
The Millibon. it like softened the nail. And then every night you had to put it on and then you had to get a mini file and file the nail off. Until you had no nail left.
Oh, because urea, I was just looking it up. I wasn't familiar with this. Urea is keratolytic.
Yes.
So it breaks down the nail itself.
So that took me about 6 months to slowly file away my toe until there was no toenail left. Yeah. And then the idea was like a virgin toenail would grow through.
Like an octopus's arm. But unfortunately, it was literally an octopus's arm, wasn't it? you'd use the wrong proportions. It told you, didn't they? Got to follow the dosage instruction.
But then it grew back fungal.
So essentially it grew back evil.
Yeah.
It's so a classic, yeah.
Okay. It was an entire waste of 6 months. Then I went back to the doctor. They gave me a pill and were like, this one's hardcore. Don't drink for 6 months. Take this pill and it'll totally like slam it. Mm. And it did. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, the GP's got this in their locker.
Really?
Yeah, but it can like ruin your liver.
Yeah.
So it's like liver versus toe.
Yeah.
So don't drink for 6 months. So you didn't drink alcohol for 6 months?
No.
But it did actually work?
Yeah, it was good.
That's funny because I've been in and out. I've fallen into the fungal loop. I've fallen through the fungal loop, which a lot of people get stuck in this
place. The other side.
And I don't know,
communicating with trees?
I now feel the seasons in my spore pouch.
We should see what John Major has to say about this.
Now, John Major, I think certainly as he was portrayed in the 90s by the hysterical scene, would be someone that would have a lot of athletes for a lot.
He would have been attracting the attention of a lot of world leaders at the G8. You put your number after your G that you like, and they'd be coming up to John asking how to deal with their fungal toenails.
And of course, the fact is they shower together at those things, don't they? And that is an absolute hotbed.
You can't. People try and dodge it. People will try and dodge it. Helmut Kohl was notorious for trying to dodge the showers after a big meeting.
Well, he'd often be pulling on a full body Veruca sock, wouldn't he, before the showers?
But they always got them. They always rounded them up and they put them in those showers.
They put them in the showers. And of course, it was a ground zero for fungal, because it was different fungal types from all over the world combining, forming mega fungi. Mm-hmm. They were unstoppable.
Yeah.
Some of these fungi were airborne.
Some of them were raised as by François Mitterrand as his own children.
That's right. Illegitimate children.
Mm-hmm. Boris Yeltsin, incredibly yeasty.
Very, very yeasty. And of course, they'd have a swim before the meeting. Then they'd have a breakout sauna halfway through, wouldn't they, where they'd all get in a sauna together.
Cold pizza and carrot batons.
Cold pizza and carrot batons.
Some weak squash.
That was going to be the name of the autobiography before he went with the autobiography. John Major's cold carrot batons and pizza.
All right, go on.
All right, so Mike, have you got the book?
I've got the book. I'm ready to go.
What we're going to do is we're going to get you to flick through it. I'll say stop at one moment, and that will.
So we're going to access, and we've found that this is a way of accessing, but by sort of cutting out the logical centres of the brain, because the logical thing to do would be to go to the index and look up.
Fungal tone infections.
Fungal tone infections. And I'm just looking at it now. Fungal tone infections. So we've got party leadership and fungal infections, page 56. Mm-hmm. We've got Middle Temple speech about fungal infections, page 61. We've got John Major's first fungal infection meeting, page 657.
Fungal nail infections and infidelity, page 374 to 482.
Fungal infections in the Falklands War, 76 to 77, 80 and 167.
Fungal infection and Scottish nationalism. I mean, it's just relentless.
European budget rebate in relation to fungal infection. And that's page 369. So there's Hong Kong joint declaration on fungal infection. So there's so many.
Channel tunnel dangers of intercontinental toe infection.
Next time I see Alistair Cow, I'm going to tell him that his face looks like a big lump of fungal infection. Never got around to doing it. Wish I had.
So that would be the conventional way to look for this. That'd be the,
but we're going to... That's when you get what John Major wants you to think about fungal foot infections. Mm. Whereas we're going to cut through to sort of subconscious, subcutaneous level of wisdom within the book using this system, which we have found works. All right, go for it.
So, Mike, I'll tell you when to stop. Ready? Let's go.
So Mike is flicking through the book from left to right using the right thumb of his left hand.
Stop.
I mean, the only thumb on his right hand.
Again, you're giving a lot away, Henry. This episode.
Sorry. Mike's got more. Mike's got the normal amount of thumbs. Sorry.
That's the official line.
Of course he has.
God, the patrons are really getting the goods tonight, aren't they? am I going down the page as well?
So you go. I'll do it if you want. Go down.
Yeah, go.
Keep go, 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 go. Stop. Okay.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Often, if I mentioned a contemporary problem in the Commonwealth to Her Majesty... This is promising.
Good. Yeah. Mm.
A contemporary problem in the Commonwealth. I mean, if I say contemporary problem in the Commonwealth, what do most people think of?
Fungal foot infections.
Yeah. Yeah. She would reply, I remember, and reveal the roots of it, often going back many years. Oh. It was a sharp reminder that the Queen has been reading state papers since Winston Churchill's days as Prime Minister. I knew his father, she would say, of some political figure, and a vivid character sketch would follow. I hope Tony Blair seeks her advice and heeds her response. I found them invaluable on many occasions. I knew his father. I think that's the key here, isn't it?
Very good. Ooh. It's a family thing, do you think?
I knew his father, so it's not about necessarily trying to treat what you're faced with. You've got to go further back than that. You have to find the father.
What, trace the fungal infection back?
Of the nail infection. You have to find the fungal patriarch and destroy it.
Well, it's the classic Oedipal situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to potentially...
Ben did that. Ben dealt with the fungus, and then the fungus returned because... He was just dealing with one of the fungus's many sons.
That's it.
You cut off the Medusa's head, 1,000 more heads grow back in its place.
Exactly.
Whereas you cut off Medusa's dad's head.
And she's really pissed off and the snake's
she's got to clear out his flat. She's got to deal with the paperwork. He's been hoarding for years. It's an absolute nightmare. Yeah. She is backed up for months.
Yeah. And also, she can't get a blimmin' hairdresser to work with her because of good stuff.
So I hope that helps, Rosie.
I think Rosie should ask, maybe approach her father to see if he has a fungal foot infection.
Yeah.
And sometimes fight fire with fire with these things. Is it possible that some sort of pumice stone, she could remove bits of her father's fungal foot infection, grind it up into a powder, mix it in with a bit of maybe aspirin? Right. Just
always read the label.
Yeah, from a kind of Ofcom point of view, definitely don't
do any of that stuff. Tricky.
Okay, so it's, are we going crab as well, or are we leaving it with...
Yeah, I don't know. We always do crab. We do both.
Let's do crab as well, then.
So I think John Major's taken us so far.
Yeah.
But now, let's see what those scuttling creatures, wet, shifty-eyed, slimy little buggers who crawl left and right and live under stones, Tory MPs, John Major... Oh, we've already done him, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Got mixed up. You saw that? Yeah, that was a bit obvious, that one. Yeah. Still good there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know it's coming and you still enjoy it.
You enjoy it more sometimes.
Sometimes it's just a roux. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's ask the crabs.
Okay.
Crabs, of course, basically are fingernails, aren't they? They're all fingernail, anyway, if you look at a crab. It's made out of pure nail, so you can't get anything stuck underneath it. That's one of their great strengths.
They're a fully sealed nail.
You're fully sealed nail. That's what they are. Okay.
Okay, I'll tell you when to stop. Ready? Go. Stop.
Okay. So we've stopped on the double page of the green-spotted gale crab.
Okay.
Promising.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
So-called because they live underneath the main display case in a gales. If you've ever been to a gales, you can sometimes hear them
scuttling
up and down.
You'd have been within inches of a green-spotted
gales crab. And that's why the cakes cost so much in gales, isn't it? It's because they're having to...
It's danger money for the workers.
It's danger money for the workers because these things are absolutely horrible. Right, and we're going to go down the page. Yeah. Tell me when to stop.
Go, stop.
Okay. Are you feeling it, Ben? Don't just say stop in a kind of, oh, let's get this over with way. Feel the wisdom, yeah?
I think you felt it.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, I just felt it quickly.
Sorry, Ben. Yeah. Right, Ben, sorry.
How dare you?
Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
How dare you?
Okay,
two feet, what have you got? You've got 2 feet, it's fine.
My feet are literally in a rock pool that I've had installed in my home.
Yeah, you're 2 feet.
Yeah.
You're two normal feet.
All of his 2 feet.
All of your 2.
As we so often say about Ben.
The full trio of your 2 feet.
And they're sub-trios.
Okay, so, occurring in all tropical oceans, most live in the sunlit shallows. But one species has been found on a deep water coral at 512 metres deep.
Mm-hmm.
Females of the first gall crab to be discovered... Oh, it's gall crab, not gales crab.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Okay. That does... I was getting confused. I was thinking, hang on a second. This doesn't sound like a gales crab.
Yeah, sorry. That must be different. That's the next page, probably, because it's alphabetical.
Yeah, yeah. So they're very different.
Appalled. Females of the first gall crab to be discovered, Hepalacrinus marsupialis, are forever trapped inside galls formed at the end of coral branches. And from this strange marsupium, their eggs develop and the larvae are released into the sea.
God, what a life.
Now, the thing that's jumping out to me, and this is not good news for our correspondent, are the words forever trapped.
Yes. They did jump out, didn't they? Forever trapped.
And I think what the crabs are trying to say to Rosie, and this isn't good news necessarily, is that sometimes you just have to understand that you are forever trapped and just get on with life.
Yes.
Okay, so I think the crabs have been unsympathetic. The John Major has been sort of mythological. BP did quite a good job here, Rosie. I was saddened to hear from Rosie that she was given short shrift in the first instance, particularly given her youth.
By the GP?
I really want Rosie to go back and see someone else. And you're young, Rosie. Do you know what I mean? Be taken seriously. But as Ben says, if you're given something heavy duty, for the love of God, if someone tells you to not drink, don't drink. Maybe you don't drink. Who knows? But they've got an arsenal. There's an arsenal. There's a whole arsenal, Rosie.
Yeah.
You've had brush-off once. That means no more brush-offs. You're not allowed to be brushed off anymore.
And I think this is a bit of conspiracy theory, Mike, but tell me if I'm wrong. Sometimes if you go back to the GP, the fact that you've gone back again, having been there before, kind of tells them that you're sort of, this is an ongoing thing and it's actually a problem.
It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. But you can, you could see how with human fallibility or maybe, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the GP was having a bad day or very busy or
I'm not here to slag off GPs.
As it is. But they've got an arsenal, Rosie, and it's go back.
I once went to see a doctor, and because I had postnasal drip.
Yeah.
So what that meant is mucus was forming in the bronchial pipes and was depositing itself at the very far back end of my tongue.
Yeah. Yeah.
then forming a sort of claggy, mucousy lump, which would make me go, clear my throat the whole time. So I went to see a doctor. He just did not give a flying fuck.
Yeah.
He didn't care at all.
He was right.
Yeah, but that's because of your manner.
And you know what and you know what he did? Mm. I'm sorry, Mike. I was very polite. I called him my good man several times. he gave me a little miniature. He prescribed a small teapot that I had to pour hot water up my nose with, which is a special. Do you know about this? It's a special sort of teapot.
It's called a neti pot, isn't it?
He was prescribing a neti pot, but it's very much in the spirit, not so much of a medical prescription, no, so much as a kind of, why don't you just stick a fucking teapot up your nose and fuck off? just stick a fucking teapot.
I have total sympathy with that GP.
Yeah, no, fair point.
Rosie's, I feel like she's been given short shrift, and I want her to go back.
By the way,
sounds like good actor advice. So
by the way, I think we've got a bit more information from the gall crab here, though.
Yes, please.
Just a little bit more. Let's dig a little deeper.
Well, because let's not forget, Rosie, that sometimes the wisdom of the crabs and of John Major, sometimes they're answering a question you didn't realise you needed to ask.
Yes.
So exactly. You may have come across this. You've come to us with this very specific problem. Mm. I think we've probably between us found a way forwards, and it may be that the crabs and John Major aren't. There's something else that they can help.
They don't always speak directly. Mm. And we're not just saying that in the way that a fortune teller might, because actually what they're saying is all based on a load of old bollocks.
Yes.
It's not like that.
Yes. Or no, whichever of those responses is correct or appropriate in this case.
Yeah, because they don't speak directly. They don't walk directly. They walk sideways. Mm. That's why it's impossible to imagine escalators for crabs. Try. You can't.
Because why would you want to? Why would you ever want to go up an escalator that took you sideways, for God's sake?
Why, exactly. But what you can imagine is a service lift. It's perfectly easy to imagine, isn't it? Full of crabs.
But surely the advertisers on the tube, for example, dream of crabs going sideways up the escalator because you're looking directly at the adverts then on the way up.
Good point. But of course, Ben, advertisers don't think of humans as crabs. They see us as something much lower than that. Worms. Right. Consumer worms, they call us. Worms with a wallet. Right. Yeah. Quite good. Now, green-spotted gall crab. Bit more information here.
Yeah.
A one-way relationship, ? Something, maybe rethink how you're framing that fungal foot issue. Mm. Maybe it's not an issue. Maybe it's a fungal, maybe it's an opportunity. While each species varies a little in its mode of feeding, they appear to all survive primarily on a diet of sticky coral mucus. Ringing any bells? You've got a form of sticky coral mucus growing under your toenail, haven't you? And these crabs aren't seeing it as a problem. They're eating the stuff and the debris that it accumulates. Some crabs deliberately irritate the coral with their legs and claws, so it produces more for them to eat. Pick away at it, maybe. See what happens. Give it a nibble. No?
Alex says, "Dear Beans, I could do some life coaching advice."
Come to the right place.
"For the last 22 years, I've worked in the television industry, making science and wildlife films for all sorts of broadcasters and filming all over the world."
Nice.
Sounds good. "That is until the arse completely fell out of the TV industry about 18 months ago. My question is, what should I do now? I'm 44, a provincial dad, and I have a degree in biology. I could probably turn my hand to illustration because, let's be honest, it's not a proper job and literally anyone can do it. But that aside, what on earth should I do?"
Not rising to it, you fucking fetid prick. Not rising to it. You think you can get a rise out of me, fucking fuckstick? Yeah, great. What's he called again, this guy?
Alex. He's called Alex.
Any kind of address or anything where we could...
What?
maybe just me and a few illustrator friends might go around and teach them a few lessons about illustration, maybe. Yeah.
One of the least intimidating posses to arrive at your front door, isn't it?
It's really, really. The iller streets, on the bad iller streets.
On the bad iller streets of London.
So, let's go to John Major first.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
So we're looking at a sort of new direction in life. Let's see what John has to say. Stop.
Oh, early Major. This might be even pre...
hopefully not childhood Major.
Pre-Prime Minister years.
Okay. Say when?
Stop.
Okay. As I drove from Huntingdon to the Commons on icy roads and in grim weather, the radio news made it clear that the cold weather payments were the issue of the moment.
God, that's dull. That's... I mean, yeah, that's, yeah. It's important, obviously, but quite boring. Go on.
Yeah. And that the opposition's attack on what it called our heartless system would be fierce. I had not realised until I listened to Labour spokesman that by introducing a new scheme to help the old pay for their heating in cold weather, we had been deliberately trying to freeze them to death.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Interesting.
Hmm. There's something in there, isn't there?
So, I mean, the only things that kind of jump out, thinking very laterally, some sort of heating engineer.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, very good. Government scientist.
Well, yes, because we've got a biology degree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got a biology degree and he knows about, yeah, he knows about fauna and maybe he should be trying to sort of market pelts. Maybe he should become a fur trapper.
Fur trapper. Yes. Also, beavers have literally just been reintroduced to Britain.
It's so time.
Get after them. Literally, beaver coat, beaver... British beaver coats is suddenly an option again. It's an it's an industry that you could pretty much start.
And also, British Alex, think about it. Are there any animals out there that you've created some kind of rapport with over the months of filming? Maybe you were going back and back and back to film a snow leopard. It got to know you. It got to understand that you weren't dangerous. Mm. Well, it was wrong because you're going back and you're pelting it.
Because you've got to pay them bills.
Also, you may have befriended some lizards. TV commissioners, am I right? Yeah. But yeah, we could maybe sell their pelts. Yeah. I mean, how much would a TV commissioner pelt go for on eBay?
I think if
probably
you
depends
find
on the channel.
There'll be a black marketplace where you could, that would go for absolutely. It'd be premium rate stuff, I reckon. Might be set for life. Yeah. Certainly take the rest of the year off kind of job.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody from like one of the, the old analog channels. Mm. Your BBCs, your ITVs, your Channel 4s.
Legacy stuff.
Yeah.
A legacy pelt.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a sort of a Greg Dyke or a Yentob.
A Yentob pelt.
I think it works because it's related to the heat, but also the heartlessness thing. I mean, Alex has been in it's a real nice guy TV world. Do you know what I mean? It's not like hardcore entertainment, isn't it? No. It's not sort of... It's not full of monsters. It's kind of, it's not, butterfly. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's nice guy stuff, but it's now time. You've been a nice guy, Alex. You've done your nice guy bit. You've done your time, okay? It's time to go hard, go heartless.
Yeah.
Okay? Time to claw some cash back from Mother Nature. Yeah.
Yeah, Mother Nature owes you because you've spent, 20 years showing us its abundance. It's time to cash in.
Yeah. Or threaten to release the dirt on Attenborough.
Oh, it's big.
That's a big payout right there.
Yeah. Or on alpacas or whatever. Do you know what I mean? There's going to be the amount of film this guy's done over the years. There'll be dirt on all sorts.
Because as soon as the cameras go off, when they're filming Spring Watch, it's like the last days of Rome.
Oh. Yeah.
In that kingfisher hide.
Chris Packham riding a badger around.
Well, that's a take.
Okay, that's a take. Should we ask the crabs?
Let's ask the crabs.
So the question from Alex is, basically, what should he do for work? Is he a biologist?
He's got a biology degree,
but has worked in television for more than two decades. And, I mean, the crabs, as I think we've alluded to earlier on, the crabs can be quite, there's realpolitik and politics, and there's real careers is their approach to careers advice on the whole.
Yeah.
But worth taking seriously.
Yeah, but crab politique, I mean, it makes Machiavelli look like a bloody Mickey Mouse, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that goes on behind the scenes in the corridors of crab power.
Mm. Under the carapace.
Under the carapace. Pincering each other in the back. Right.
Stop.
Each antenna typically has a large supporting basal segment.
Okay.
Followed by a series of smaller and increasingly slender segments that develop into a sensory flagellum.
Okay.
Such beautiful, noble creatures, aren't they? They truly are the horses of the deep. At the base of the basal segment, you'd thought it couldn't get any more base than basal, but no, yeah. the basal segment has a base. At the base of the basal segment is an opening from the antennal gland.
Because he's looking for an opening job-wise, isn't he? So
that's true. This small... you couldn't... It's absolute sort of gross word bingo reading this.
It's hard to picture as well, I will
say.
It's
hard to picture. It's not going to get any... the amount of gross words I'm about to hit you with in the next sentence.
Okay. I'm also imagining all of these things in a row, in sort of a line as well.
In a sort of hideous lineup.
Yeah.
So it's a real who's who. It's big hitters of gross words coming up.
Yeah.
This small internal gland is located at the base of each eye stalk. Covered by connective tissue and a bladder sac.
You very rarely expect the bladder sac so close to the eye stalk.
Not finished yet.
I mean, that is tight. That is a tight bit of packing.
That's the ultimate odd couple, isn't it? Those two together. They're never going to get on.
There's not much room for error there, is there?
Okay, still going. And acts much like a human kidney, regulating the dilution of tissue salts. They're just like people. They're not that different, are they? I'm going to keep going. Okay. The antennae of this species, which bury into soft sediments, have developed a long, stiffened antennal tube.
Okay.
Formed by interlocking thick setae on the inner edge of each antenna, with which they pump away respiratory water. The purpose of these antennal tubes is not fully understood. They may help the crabs avoid disturbing the muddy sand in which they hide, or they may direct away any chemical signals the crabs produce so as not to alert predators to their exact position.
So the thing that... I think this is a deep one. You know, we need to really sift through this to find some meaning. The thing that slightly jumps out for me is the antennae.
Yes, very much
which
so.
Could represent broadcasting.
Yes.
Ah, very good.
As an industry.
That's the logo of the BBC, isn't it? The classic old logo.
Yeah.
But I've not got much further than that, Mike.
That's where it starts, doesn't it? I think it's taking us on a journey. So I had the same thought, and it began with the antennae, you know? And it's taken us on a long, convoluted route. And where does it end up? It ends up with a sort of kind of bilge pump system, sort of chemical effluence and that kind of stuff. So I think it is suggesting that Alex makes a very, very radical change, retrained into a crucial sector that isn't going to be susceptible to the whims and vagaries of broadcasting and media, and then he goes and gets a job as a sewerage engineer.
I think that's it. That's it.
I like that.
They're updating. We've got Victorian Network in this country. They're upgrading it all over the place.
Now, also, I think what's interesting here is the fact it says the purpose of these antennal tubes is not fully understood. I think what that's saying is maybe if the antenna represents his career in the media, I think it's maybe saying it's not clear if that was the right thing for him to do.
What was the purpose of the...
Exactly. They may help the crabs avoid disturbing the muddy sand in which they hide.
Or maybe his camera was just out of focus for 25 years.
Or he maybe hadn't taken the little hat off.
Yeah.
But I think that's suggesting to me that he was hiding in the sand in that job. I think his true crabby essence can now scuttle above the sand line.
So was there something before? Was there something before he was swept up in a late 90s fever of going to work in the dizzying heights of nature TV?
And that's where I'm going to read the next paragraph, because I think he maybe has a job in catering.
Okay.
The mandibles are calcified, crushing or cutting structures that sever off pieces of food before they are passed into the gastric mill, a specialised stomach-like organ behind the mouth. Okay. But I think that to me suggests that maybe something...
But is that catering or food testing? Maybe he gets a job in a pie factory being a tester.
Maybe food testing.
There are food testing jobs, you know. But whether it's tasting food or engineering sewerage, it sounds like, those are the two sides of the same coin, aren't they? It feels like that's That's the sphere that he needs to be into, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Food and its relationship with the gastrointestinal tract.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that huge range of employment.
I think we solved that one.
Yep.
This is from Helen.
Oh, Helen.
Hi, Beans.
Hi.
My sister and her partner, brackets, both beanheads, great stuff.
Nice.
Are getting married this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Congrats.
What should I get them for a wedding present? Fondest regards, Helen.
That's a great question.
P.S. Their names are Rebecca and Nick.
Rebecca and
Nick. If you have any advice for their future together. So this is like a double-pronged question, really.
Okay, Rebecca and Nick. Good. Rebecca, I mean, the most obvious answer to the question just literally is the John Major, the autobiography, isn't it?
Oh, to guide you through,
as a pretty solid present. Was the question what to get them as a wedding present?
Yeah.
And that would guide you through a married life, wouldn't it? Easy peasy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, except for the fact that he had just had a series of tawdry affairs, didn't he, with
Edwina Curry?
He had a long-running tawdry affair with Edwina Curry.
Mm. Okay, Mike.
That's his secret to happy marriage.
Get the book ready. Okay. So you're going to flick through. Go. Stop.
Oh, we're on a photo page.
We're on a photo page. We're only on one. Mm.
What's the next page after the photo page?
Well, there is a non-photo page.
Okay, good. Okay. We can also look at the photographs.
Yeah, the photo might be
stop.
Trying to tell us something.
Okay. There was plenty of publicity for some of the criticisms of the lottery. Most of the abuse was directed at Camelot directors, as higher-than-expected proceeds from the sales of the lottery tickets produced higher-than-expected profits. This triggered a row stirred up by the Labour Party about fat cats and directors' bonuses.
I think this is pretty straightforward. You're getting them a scratch card. What I would say is, with that gift, do make sure that you sign a pre-scratch agreement with them, which is that if the amount is over £3,000,
oh yeah,
it's yours.
They get the first fiver, I think.
They get the first fiver. It's a sort of reverse insurance excess, isn't it? So they get the first 3,000, no matter what it is. But if it's 2 million, you're getting...
So Mike's giving them the first fiver. You're giving them the first £3,000.
Well, only to hold for a bit. till the end of the wedding. And then they have to give it back.
Yeah, I think it's obvious. I think it's scratch cards.
It's scratch card.
Great. That is a good present. I reckon, like, I've bought people scratch cards as a little gift in the past because it's quite good fun.
It's quite good fun, isn't it?
And you can do it together as well. Do a bit of suspense as well.
Yeah.
I will say that gambling is an absolute blight.
But I tell you which animals won the evolutionary lottery.
It's beautifully crabs. Done.
Okay, what do the crabs have to say?
Yeah. Tell me when.
Stop.
And okay. Tell me when.
Stop.
Stop. Pea crabs are symbiotic crabs that may be familiar to many, as they can often turn up at newsagents where they'll often buy a lottery card. They like the scratch cards. They like the big millions one. They like the fun billions. Those are their favourites. So it's an open shut case. Like the fun billions.
Hey, Talon, there we go.
Do we want to see if John Major has any advice for the future of Rebecca and Nick?
Well, I wonder, because the picture here, the second picture, because it landed on a picture page.
Okay, so what have we got there?
And the picture is, it's about the cabinet meetings, and it's making the point that they meet around a boat-shaped table that was installed by Harold Macmillan that allows the Prime Minister to make eye contact with everyone around it.
Isn't that just a table?
It's a boat-shaped table.
It's okay. It's a boat-shaped table. Let's see. Does it look like a boat?
I think it means John Major doesn't have to demean himself by sort of leaning slightly at any point.
So he's already facing everyone.
He's in a crow's nest above everyone.
He's in a horizontal crow's nest, and it doesn't matter where he looks. He's looking at making eye contact with everyone around the table at all times.
So does that mean they're all lined up a bit like the monkeys on an album cover? You know, when they're all stood still with their arms poking up, but you can sort of see all of them, but none of them. Do you know what I mean?
All of the eyes at the same time.
Yeah. It's like a reverse Mona Lisa, John Major is the Mona Lisa.
John Major is Mona Lisa. Yeah.
Okay, his eyes follow you around the table.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, he's staring at you.
So how does that translate into marriage advice?
Don't let her out of your sight. I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, beyond get yourself a boat-shaped table.
Well, I think in marriage, I think it does help to have a sort of a well-chosen table in your home.
Yeah.
You don't want it too small. You don't want it too big. It's got to be the right shape for you.
Yeah.
You know, the table is the beating heart of the home.
And also, there's a reason why monogamous is an anagram of mahogany, isn't it? So get a nice mahogany table. Because then you'll have a mahogamous relationship.
Unless that's not what they're into. We don't know.
Unless that's not what you're into.
Yeah, if you're more into a kind of open relationship type thing, you can get one of those ones that extends.
Yes.
For when people come round.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there's different relationships. There's different shapes of marriages. There's different shapes of tables. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a boat-shaped table.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a round table.
Yeah. I'm pansexual. I'm having an affair with a nice non-stick teffel at the moment. But don't tell her that I'm also shagging a Le Creuset omelette pan on the side. Good stuff.
It was a bit sort of tenuous and uncomfortable. But
It was uncomfortable, wasn't it?
But other than that, good,
yeah. I really felt that at the time. Now, in terms of the wisdom of crabs on this one,
yeah.
Little crab fact. I've asked ChatGPT.
Mm.
Is anyone good at saying that yet? Try and say it quickly.
ChatGPT.
Exactly. It's impossible. It's such a bad name for it. No wonder Deep Blue's doing better. Is that what it's called?
No.
Deep Seek. Deep Seek.
Deep Blue is that. That's the features of beat Gary Kasparov.
Yeah, that's not cutting it anymore, I'm afraid. Try asking that question about. Let's get.
That really. That was a real 15 minutes of fame job, that guy.
Really was.
He's seething in retirement at the moment. He's absolutely.
Kasparov?
Yeah. No, Deep Blue, because no one's Deep talking Blue. About him anymore.
If you ask Deep Blue, are crabs monogamous? He'll be like,
Fuck it, I don't want to play chess with me anymore.
Bishop to castle 3, bishop 5 to crab.
He's bitter and lonely.
He's bitter and lonely. Poor old Deep Blue. So I've asked ChatGPT, and it said, no, most crab species are not monogamous. Generally, crabs generally have promiscuous mating behaviours. Well, you would if you were that smoking hot, wouldn't you?
Did that surprise you, Henry?
No.
Did you imagine them to be tender and loyal, nurturing lovers?
No, you're right. It's fair enough. It's what you'd expect. With both males and females, where both males and females mate with multiple partners throughout their lives, however, there are some exceptions. It's very it's so futuristic. They're so much more enlightened, and they're just so ahead of us, aren't they? Crabs, do you know what I mean? It's such a much more sophisticated life.
Well, yeah. Once you get rid of any level of sentiment whatsoever and empathy, you can get a lot done.
You can. It does. It really does.
Yeah.
You rattle through your to-do list.
You really do.
Is that a quote from John Major's autobiography, Mike?
but here's a little few examples which might be useful to. Was it what the couple called again?
They're called Rebecca and Nick.
So Rebecca and Nick, so here's some options that the crabs present to you as ways of conducting your relationship. So one option is you could follow what the blue crabs do, Rebecca and Nick. So in that situation, females mate only once in their lifetime after molting, storing sperm to fertilize multiple broods, but males continue to mate with multiple females. Was it Rebecca and?
Nick.
So Nick might be thinking, well, no. Nick gets quite a good deal there, potentially.
Nick's counting the days until molting, is he? Sorry, Rebecca and Nick.
Yeah, but do try and molt before your honeymoon, because you only mate once in your lifetime, Rebecca, and that's after molting. So get molting. If there's any molting, if there's
It depends how conservative they are. They might be quite socially conservative. You never know.
That's true. What is molting, by the way?
A lot of beanheads are. I mean, this is a very socially conservative podcast. So maybe you have to time the molting for exactly between the wedding day itself and honeymoon.
Yeah.
Because
economically liberal.
You don't want to be pre-molting, you don't want to be molting out of wedlock.
No. What is molting, by the way?
Well, in a crab context, it's their shell coming off.
Yeah.
Oh, gross. Fiddler crabs and ghost crabs. Some species exhibit mate guarding, where a male stays near a female after mating, but this is usually temporary rather than lifelong monogamy.
Oh, God.
So that's
toxic behaviour.
It's quite problematic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's random.
And in some deep sea crabs, a few deep sea species, due to limited encounters with mates, might show more exclusive pairings. So overall, crabs tend to prioritise reproductive success over exclusive pair bonding.
Yeah, Rebecca, I think stick to buying a nice table.
I think just get a nice table.
Treat yourself.
And don't try and emulate crabs in your relationship, but maybe like buy a really massive giant ceramic crab and have it on display in your front room at all times.
Instead of a table. Yeah.
Instead of a table. It's an option. Just because at least you've
got laps, assume, unless you don't, in which case, I apologise.
In which case you are crabs, the only animal without a lap. It's just a head and legs. Isn't it? That's why they're so heartless. They can never sit on each other's laps.
And they never got anything for Christmas.
It's impossible to picture a crab Santa. Try.
Yep. You can't. Well, I think that's probably, enough problem solving for one time.
Sure. Well, I'm sure lots of people would have found that their own problems would have been helped in some way by
absolutely
those specific ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
A big thank you to John Major.
Yes, thank you, John.
Thanks, John Major.
For your abundance of wisdom.
I bought that John Major autobiography online.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was offered a deal.
Yeah.
Which I've saved on my phone, which is buy three, get one free. Add four to basket. Which I really, for a second, you're like, hang on, I can't say there is a free one. I'm ripping myself off, aren't I, if I don't get four copies of the autobiography by John Major.
Oh, God, I really hope you don't get bitten by that, Henry. I really hope you don't find yourself in a life-threatening situation in the next couple of weeks where you could really have done with four copies of this autobiography.
If only I had four. What, building a little staircase to get myself up?
Yeah.
Should we finish the episode with maybe Mike reading the end of John Major's autobiography?
Of course, yeah. With great pleasure. Thank you.
Well, the last sentence. The Curtain Falls is the name of the last chapter. Mike's got
a special last chapter, isn't he? What is the last chapter?
It's entitled The Empty House, my last chapter. Is that the same as in your book?
So my...
Mine's called Aftermath.
My one's called The Curtain Falls in my
room. Oh, I've got an extra one.
No wonder they were offering four copies. There's four different endings.
The Curtain Falls, I've got. And then after that, it's Aftermath.
Yeah, I've got Aftermath.
And after that, it's The Empty House. So shall we go for the very final one?
I think so.
For all the dissatisfaction it often creates, Parliament has been the guardian of our liberties for generations. It can regain much of the authority it has lost. It will be a worthy task for the ambitious and public-spirited men and women who wish to serve in it to see it do so. And if they can re-establish its moral and political authority, we will all be in their debt. John Major, July 2000.
That is an absolutely dog-shit last sentence. I tuned out of that. It's so generic.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's basically saying democracy's quite good. Hopefully things will get better and hopefully some people will do it. If they do, great.
The Curtain Falls, so the edition I've got, it's got a slightly sexier ending, The Curtain Falls. The last sentence is, I went to bed thinking not of what had been, but of what was yet to come.
Okay.
Implication, a night of steamy sex with Edwina Curry. What's yours, Ben?
I love number 10 and the people within it. Loved the job. Oh. Loved the responsibility. Loved and will always love. The country I served. Now it is over and life goes on.
I think it's good to remind ourselves at this moment, and I think we should maybe always sign off with this, with the last book, the last sentence in the book, Crabs, A Global Natural History by Peter J.F. Davey.
A.K.A. Susan Crabb.
A.K.A. Susan Crabb. And to see if we ever come across a book which will be able to match this last sentence, which we haven't so far. Which is, crabs are caught using offshore baited pots, but also in trawl nets. No, that's actually the wrong sentence. Sorry, that's not the right one. It's got a sub chapter right at the end. It's got a paragraph that's got the subheading "Millions of Eggs." No, sorry, that was the wrong page. The last sentence of the last chapter of Crabs is what a sentiment to take away with you at the end of this experience. May the spirit of the crab bring peace and prosperity into all of our lives.
Amen.
Good night.